I'm an avid audio booer, and I had actually planned to do a before and after piece from our first Google Plus hangout with an audience. And I'd recorded a bit beforehand, and I was just recording the bit afterwards. And then this gentleman here, and what's your name, sir?
Peter Cox.
Neil McShane. Started effing and blinding in the background while I'm trying to go
it's
through.
More like the foreground, really.
Wasn't it was actually, he came.
Sorry about that.
Yes. Okay. So I'm having to record a new audio boot without the preliminary bit that was recorded before we went online. It had all the tension and the excitement, and would people turn up? And oh my goodness. Anyway, Peter, how did it go from your point of view?
It was a bit fraught.
And why was it fraught?
It was fraught because we were at the mercy of Irish Broadband, which is not very good. We basically lost connection twice, and we weren't sure if people could hear us. And at one stage, I had to go and sit over the other computer and start typing in the important bits of information. but it was quite cool to actually be able to work and talk directly to an audience rather than at an invisible audience, which is the way it normally is with a podcast.
And fabulous that the audience was, we could see Turkish names, Japanese or Chinese names, Arabian names, some people we recognised, some people we didn't know, people all around the world, which was fabulous.
We were only able to actually have 9 people join, and there were a lot more people that would have liked to have joined but couldn't, because there was a limit that we thought wasn't a limit but actually turned out to be.
Yeah, we're not quite sure what happened there. If you are listening to this and you're one of the people who tried to join the Hangout and found and got the message that it was full, we did, or at least we thought we had, clicked the relevant option to allow you all in as spectators. Unfortunately, that somehow does seem not to have worked. Neil, from your point of view, without cursing...
I know you're recording now, so I'm not going to... Of course.
How did it go for you, your first Google Plus Hangout?
Oh, it was great. Like talking to a camera, like normal. Like we do the videos.
But it wasn't actually your first Hangout, though, was it? I mean, you and I...
We've been testing for the last 2 days in this Hangout, and it was working great for us.
It was.
It's just down to the broad, and we kept losing things, dropping things down. Yep. What can you do? Yeah, Peter just said there, I don't understand why you can only have 9 people, though.
Yeah. It is a shame, and I thought it's something we need to...
Limitless.
Well, that's what we thought, and we thought we'd click the option that allowed 9 people to participate so that they could actually chat with us, and also an unlimited number of people as spectators.
Just to hear.
Yeah. So we obviously did something wrong, because other people can make it work, and we didn't. So, but we thought we'd figured it out. And so if you are listening to this and you had tried to join and you couldn't, we do apologise. Neil,
we get the full video up on the blog anyway.
Yes, there will be a full video from this weekend with footage of what we did, how we did it, the results. But for those of you who can't wait, it's already out there. Our verdict is out there. In a nutshell, Neil, D800 versus the IQ180 from Phase 1. What's the verdict?
Anybody want to buy a Canon?
I guess Neil is an avid Canon user, has been for many years.
Quality was stunning. When we printed out the 20x30 prints, we could see the difference between there's a notable small difference between the D800 and the D800E. But there was then a bigger difference between the D800E and the Phase 1. Yeah. Then what Peter decided what we'll do, let's print them a bit bigger.
When you 60 say
by 40.
Yeah, not a bit bigger.
The size of the bed you sleep in, actually. That's how big these things are. And Peter printed out the first one, the IQ180 file, and we said, my God, it was just looks stunning. So we went and had some to lunch, and Peter printed the second file. When we came back, it was a look of worry on Peter's face, because we thought he'd printed the same file again.
Yes.
But he didn't. He had printed the D800E file. And then I came in and looked at it, and I sat on the ground crying. It was unreal.
You were crying. How do you think Peter felt? and just on that, Peter.
Tears in my eyes.
I know.
It wasn't tears of joy.
And just on that, Peter, as the owner of a Phase 1 IQ180 back, your verdict on the D800E. And that's pretty much all you need to
know. He's not allowed to swear either, right?
No, that's pretty much all you need to know. That sound says it all. But for those of you who can't interpret animalistic sounds, Peter will now explain in words.
You never like to be in a position where technology catches up with you that quickly. And the IQ-180 is still a superior camera in virtually all respects, but it's not superior by that much of a margin. So of course, I'm a little bit hurting, tiny bit.
Now, that's not to say that you cannot get just absolutely drop-dead, fantastic, beautiful, stunning, gorgeous files off an IQ-180, because we've seen this weekend just what a 180 can do.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, we've also seen what a D800 can do, and it's very close. So, I mean, you know, it's not to say the IQ-180 is a bad camera. It's absolutely not. It's a stunning, fantastic camera, and I love it. But the D800 is, and also in terms of, working with a technical camera, there's a lot of complexity there, which you don't have with the D800. But then again, the D800 lenses struggle to really work across the whole frame.
Yeah, exactly. We found out drastically that the corners and the edges of from the D800, from them, was horrible. They were, yeah. When we spotted them on the 20 by 30 prints, we knew exactly at that stage which was the IQ-180.
Yeah.
And again, the colour and the sharpness completely from left, right, top, bottom was in the whole print on the IQ-180, and it wasn't there on the Nikons. And we knew straight away which were the Nikons. Yeah. But we were surprised to see how bad some of them were, soft on the edges.
Yeah, faulty lens, we think, in one instance. Yeah. But nevertheless, I mean, when the lenses hit their sweet spot, they were incredible. And
yeah, because we printed off the big 60 by 40, we printed using the 24 tilt and shift lens with... using the tilt function of what, 1.2 degrees, and
well, I think I can summarize this very clearly. Peter, who owns a 180 back, is absolutely impressed, stunned by the D800E. Neil and myself, who work with Canons and have done for decades, our heads have been turned
around 180 degrees. So.
That's a bit of a killer.
I know, yeah. Well, unless Canon come out with a better camera, or unless, again, we didn't have the Mark III 5D, so I'm going to get my hands on the 5D Mark III, put my 24 tilt and shift on it, and see what happens. Mm, sure. I don't sell prints that size, so I'm not too worried. I want to see a marked improvement over the 5D. Mm. After there, I'd be happy with it.
Prints that size being the gigantic 60 by 40 inch. So we're going to leave you there. We're just to recap, we've been looking at 60 by 40 inch prints. Those are prints that are 5 foot high off the files of an IQ-180 and a D800E. And the D800E, well, let me just put it this way. Phase one, your boy took a hell of a beating.